Well, with Gordon James Giannotto, as we talk about Planet X, we're going to talk about some of these events that he says will show the pole shift, and we can just catalog those, chart those, as we get very close to those events. Gordon, tell us again about these events that you said would show us the beginning of the pole shift.
I'd be glad to, because, as I said, the Pacific is going to narrow, the Atlantic is going to widen, the whole of South America is going to rotate around a point in Brazil, and the top part of it's going to go west, what's our west now. And in the process, that's going to just submerge the Caribbean. Now, the Pacific goes under the west coast of North America and under the west coast of South America. So when the Pacific narrows, actually part of it's going to slide under and uplift the mountains on the coasts. At the same time, the western side of the Pacific is going to slide under New Zealand and Australia and lift up the New Zealand is going to actually pop up about 500 feet. Mm-hmm. And the eastern side of Australia is going to pop up. But the western side of Australia, almost all of Indonesia, Vietnam, Thailand, Southeast Asia, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and all of India are going to go. And what Nancy said last in the fall of 2009, she said it's going to be one of three events will be a precursor. And she said if pole shift is 10 out of 10, then this event's going to be 7 out of 10. And it's going to just shock the world completely. And it's going to happen, and that is not even pole shift. So I'm thinking that the most likely, and she, at that time she gave the three choices, which was that Indonesia would sink.
Right.
That was the first choice. The second choice is there would be huge earthquakes in Japan, followed by the downwarping of the New Madrid Fault. Now, if people aren't aware of that, that was where the biggest earthquake in the history of the United States ever happened.
That's where the Mississippi changed direction, right?
Exactly. And it happened just around 1810, 1812, I think, 1816, something in there. And that's going to affect eight states, and it's going to possibly leave 30 million people homeless. And that would certainly shock our conscience.
Yes, it would.
And then, within hours of that, now, most people are aware of the term the Atlantic Rift, but what it is an irregular crack in the center of the Atlantic Ocean going from Iceland south to Antarctica. And volcanic lava has been uplifting there in this crack, and it's trying to make the Atlantic wider.
Now, are all these events related to incoming of Planet X?
Definitely, because you have to understand that the crust of the earth, have you ever been to a grocery store and you hold an orange in your hand that has tissue paper around it? The crust of the earth floats on the core.
Yeah, well, I know that.
And the Atlantic Rift is the single most magnetic part of the earth's crust. And as the North Pole of Planet X approaches the earth, every time the earth turns and the Atlantic Rift faces it, Planet X sort of grabs that Atlantic Rift slightly and jerks it. And as it gets closer and closer, the Earth is going to actually start moaning, and there's going to be earthquakes developing everywhere, and there's going to be volcanoes going off.
Now, so, are we seeing any of these indicators right now?
Well, we are in so many respects. 21 volcanoes going off in Indonesia leads everyone who knows anything about this, to think that the 7 out of 10 event, and she said this is going to happen before the end of the year, so we're talking only a few weeks here.
Yeah.
So this is a major prophecy. And, talk about just wanting to help. You know, you watch these stories, you see the people in Haiti, and you think, well, what can I do, you know? And then you see, like, it was raining in Pakistan, and they said, well, Pakistan's flooded because of the floods. Well, the rain stopped a long time ago, and Pakistan's still flooded. The reason why is that whole tongue of the Southeast Asian plate is going down.
And water will gush over that at an incredible rate, will it not?
Well, this isn't even the pole shift. This is just sinking. I mean,
just a massive sinking.
Yeah, because what's happening is North and South America are trying to move closer to Asia and Australia. And
well, we
all
could be
that,
talking, Gordon, about billions of people there, right?
Well,
billions.
That's the thing. You see, at the moment of pole shift, that's when India is going to go. And you're talking, you know, what, 1.25 billion people lost in the twinkling of an eye?
Yeah.
I mean, this is sad. I mean, the thing is if NASA had said something 50 years ago, I'm absolutely convinced they knew 50 years ago, starting at Roswell. I don't know the exact connection, but I have no doubt of it in my mind.
Well, what does a government do? Let's say they know,
well, I know
that a region's going to go and 2 billion people in the whole region are going to die. Where do you put these people?
I know. Well, you know, that's, I think, you see, I think that both Presidents Bush and Obama are in that position where people, you know, these people have the internet. They're reading Zeta Talk over there in Indonesia and in China and in Vietnam and in Thailand and in Pakistan, and they want to discuss it. And I don't think that our presidents are going to talk about it over a telephone or in a written message. I think these people are saying, you come over here and you tell us what's happening. And honestly, I think he's telling him it's just going to be a few earthquakes. Don't worry about it. We are not taking any refugees. Excuse me. We're not taking any refugees, and we'll station. I mean, that's what these 34 Navy ships are.
Well, it is interesting. All these things are going on.
You know, we're saying to them, calm down. Your worst problem is if there's going to be riots. So, but when pole shift is about to begin, the one sign of it that everyone in the entire Earth will recognize is you will look up and you will see standing apart from the sun this bright spot in the sky. And at that point, everybody's going to go, oh, my God, what is that? And from that day forward, when it sweeps the Earth, it'll probably take 3 days for everybody on Earth to go, oh, my God, what's that next to the sun? And from that day forward, it's 7.3 weeks until pole shift.
7.3. All right. Thank God we can jot this stuff down, Gordon.
Yeah, because you see, what's interesting is that Planet X comes in going the wrong direction in our solar system. It comes up against the orbit of the Earth and sort of wobbles there. And it's bigger. It has a much bigger magnetic field than Earth. So if you went to Radio Shack and you bought two stick magnets and you stood one up and you took the other one in your hand horizontally and you moved it towards the first one, you'd see the one that was standing up would fall over.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, another proof that this is true is the pictures of star trails. When somebody puts a camera on a tripod and takes a six-hour exposure of the stars going around Polaris, our North Star, they're coming out as an oval.
Tell me about the picture that you supplied us for coasttocoastam.com. Can you explain this graphic?
Yes, this graphic shows that Planet X is in front of the sun, off to the side. So it's hard to see because when you look towards the sun is so damn bright that you know, unless you really have the right filters, and I've tried it myself, welding goggles do not work. So I myself have yet to see it, but I go out to photograph it every day. And it's to the left of the sun, above the sun at sunrise, and to the right of the sun, below the sort of to the lower right of the sun, like the 5 o'clock position at sunset. And there are people around the world. I mean, everybody's walking around. You see all the UFO pictures. People have been walking around with digital cameras, movie cameras. They're taking pictures of sunrises and sunsets. And people are getting this. And you can go to YouTube and do a search. And it just boggles the mind. People from around the world getting pictures of it next to the sun. You can't make this up. And it's not lens flare. I mean, you can see a lens flare. This is not a lens flare.
So this is very important. By the end of this year, and we're not talking about
right.
a lot of time left.
No, we're talking 5 or 6 weeks.
What do you expect to happen?
I expect something to happen that is going to absolutely shock the world. It's going to leave people just speechless, and you know, I don't know why. What you said, George. You know, what would you do if you were the president? how could you tell everybody? What would you do? Would you move everybody to Colorado?
You couldn't. It's impossible.
Well, I know. So, but the funny thing is,
You're talking about, you were just mentioning over a billion people just in India alone. You're talking about a region. You're talking 2 billion people.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you know, there are some globalists who would like to see a reduced world population.
Well, they're going to get their wish. If that's their wish, they're going to get it. Because you've got to realize probably two-thirds of the Earth's population lives at sea level.
Would this be a gradual sinking or just boom, it's gone?
Well, for India, it would be instantaneous, like the twinkling of an eye.
Gosh.
You see, Planet X is in between the sun and the Earth, and it's sort of blocked, like there's a wobble. And that's another proof is that the sun is so quiet. This is supposed to be a historically high erupting period of the sun. And with Planet X laying horizontally, with its axis horizontal, and its south pole pointed at the sun, it is soaking up all the particles and the eddies from the sun that would normally cause it to be erupting, and it's all being sucked over to the south pole of Planet X, and so that's what's quieting the sun. So this little dance that's going on right now goes on for an indeterminate amount of time, but when finally it's able to knock the Earth over, and by that I mean just before the pole shift, the whole northern hemisphere is going to be in darkness.
Does 2012 have anything to do with any of this?
I personally believe deeply that it's going to happen next year. Okay. Because, you know, the Mayan calendar, look at our calendar. We've got the Gregorian calendar. We've got the Julian calendar. There's so many calendar changes that you just have to be amazed that the Mayans were even able to get to this point from so long ago. But don't count on waiting till December 2012.
No. Okay. In case of Zeta, let's assume we get to the end of the year, Gordon.
Yes.
And nothing's happened. Let's just assume that for now. We got some time to think about that.
Right.
Is that to say it's not going to happen at all? They missed their mark?
I would say no. That just means it's delayed. After all, you know, a lot of people say to me, well, if we all get together. And we, you know, like the kind of things Art Bell used to do, that where if we all get together and think nice thoughts, that we'll avert pole shift. And honestly, I don't think we can change this. I think Earth is a schoolhouse. This is a lesson. It's a chance. Even if you only have 5 minutes to live, if you make a conscious choice to be unselfish, you have accomplished your major purpose of life.
All right. If you were an individual, let's say hearing the program and you're in India right now, what would you do?
I would head north.
Quickly.
I would go to Kazakhstan or Azerbaijan.
What about the politicals out there?
Nobody wants hordes of refugees coming in. Nobody. And no. You've got this situation where, but the thing is we're just talking about the buildup, so we're going to have something that will shock the conscience of the world, something that is so big there is nothing that can be done about it, and it's going to affect everybody, and that's going to happen before the end of the year. And if it doesn't happen by the end of the year, it's going to happen shortly after, believe me. So you're going to have a situation where everybody's going to be in shock. But then when they look up and Planet X is far enough away from the sun for everybody to see it, George, pilots aren't going to fly planes. Policemen aren't going to show up for their job. Firemen are going to, everybody's going to take their wife and their kids and they're going to head for the hills. Chaos is going to begin that day.
How long will this planet stick around before its influence starts to wane again?
Well, that's the thing, is it's trying to leave now. It's in the leaving that the pole shift has caused.
So it's in a leaving mode now. Right.
In the leaving, when it leaves, that's what causes pole shift, because it's stopped itself in its orbit, in its movement. It stopped us in its orbit, and it's the action of being freed from that. Most of these crop circles show this very interesting cup-like drawing where you've got this big cup, and in it is the Earth, Venus, and the dark twin, which is, we haven't mentioned that, but that doesn't really relate to our pole shift. But anyway, that's what these co-op circles are showing these days. And that represents the fact that it's sort of like they're trapped with this magnetic eddy, this particle eddy, whatever goes on with gravity and magnetism, and it's trapped there. But it's in the leaving is where it's going to approach to 14 million miles from Earth, and at that point, I would say that it's going to be approximately the size of our full moon in the sky overhead.
Three people, two of whom we've interviewed before, one I never had a chance to, have talked about what a map would look like of North America. Edgar Cayce, Lori Toy, and Gordon Michael Scallion.
Exactly.
And they have all talked about massive flooding, devastation, a United States that would pale by itself after a few years just by looking at it. The West Coast would not be the West Coast.
Well, it's funny because with the Pacific sliding under the Sierras, what you're going to get is salt water going between the passes. So you have things like the Salton Sea is going to just be a part of the ocean. You're going to have the around Sacramento in the valley there where all the food is produced, that's going to be underwater. But by and large, California is not going to submerge because people think, well, it's just going to tilt up and go down, but it isn't. What it's going to do is lift up.
All right, explain that, the lift up.
Well, the Pacific floor, the Pacific's a wide ocean, and it's going to become narrower by the floor of the ocean sliding under North and South America.
Okay. Gradual or big?
Fast. That's a pole shift that will happen within an hour's time.
So no time to prepare, really.
No, but that's the thing. You know, when people are listening now, they ought to be saying to themselves, well, what can I do now? Because, you know, you think, well, you know, my wife doesn't even believe me. If I mention it, my kids think I'm crazy. I can't leave my job. I've got all these payments and stuff and whatever. And everybody feels trapped. And that.
Well, how many people would believe it, Gordon? How many people? See, you know, when you, if you told somebody today, as people have been telling folks in Los Angeles, a big one's coming.
Yeah.
A big one's coming.
Yeah,
well,
and it is.
I don't know of really one person. And has left the Los Angeles area saying the big one's coming. Yet if it occurs, they'll all say, why didn't you warn us? Or something like that. People won't move.
I'm saying is you can't be a prophet in your own country. When I talk to people I know, I find very few people, but I do find them. And I'm like, okay, well, at least somebody understands what I'm saying.
In your opinion, what does NASA, what do governments know about this Planet X?
In my opinion, they know everything about it, because what's wrong with Washington, D.C.? It's our national capital, it's historic. Why have we moved? The IRS, the CIA, the national security, everything is moving to Denver.
Everything's moving. Denver's the backup capital right now.
Exactly.
And
that whole corridor from Denver to Boulder is one giant military base. And if there were one place, I would say, don't move for your own health unless you just love the idea of martial law. It's that stretch from Boulder to Denver.
You had mentioned something I want to talk with you about when we come back, about how people can tell the truth from other people. I assume you're going to give us some techniques on that?
Well, I'd like to if you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to let you know that there's a lot of things I could be talking about, and I want you to choose what you want to ask.
All right, let's talk about that. You'll turn us into human lie detectors when we come back in just a moment. Then there's some other issues I want to get into before we take phone calls with you. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. So would you like to look someone in the eyes and know whether they were telling you the truth or not? Let's find out how you can do that when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Gordon, teach us. How do you know if someone is speaking the truth? What do we do?
Well, the first thing is that your soul and your personality, your ego, are like two separate things. So your soul does not like lying, and it tries to signal using your body involuntarily that you're not telling the truth. So the most noticeable sign is that when somebody's telling you the truth, they are invariably facing you. They do not have their arms crossed. They do not have their legs crossed. And they're looking right in your face. And that is a total honest communication. Now, when a person lies, the most frequent thing they do, and this you can hear this over the telephone and you can see it in person, is the person will say, "I love only you, dear," and their sniff, and that sniff is their soul taking it back.
The sniff?
Yes, it's your soul taking it back, what you just said.
Interesting.
Yes, and if you're like, now I was a criminal trial lawyer for years, and I mean, I had people that were guilty, and a lot of lawyers say, I don't know, want to know if they're guilty, I'm going to represent them anyway. And I would just talk to them until I knew. And then if I thought they were guilty, I said, look, I'll help you plead guilty, but I'm not helping you get away with it. You find another lawyer if that's what you
really
want.
You see, not a lot of lawyers would do that.
No, none. I just, that's why I'm not practicing law today, is because I got tired of that, how much justice can you afford thinking.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always wondered, we'll get back to the truth thing here in a second, but I've always wondered how an attorney who, you know, takes the oath, so they do it, but I mean, how difficult it might be to defend someone when you know in your heart that they're guilty of sin.
Oh, I couldn't do it. No. I could not do it. Because
You would have been a better prosecutor than defense attorney.
Well, it's funny. I was asked by an FBI agent and a Maine State Police detective if I would consider getting my license in Maine and being a prosecutor in Eastern Maine.
Yeah. You would. I think you would have been better doing that. And you know what? Had you sensed that they were innocent, you would have probably helped them out.
Oh yeah. I'll give everybody a chance if they deserve it.
All right, so let's say a guy comes.
So now, let's say somebody's sitting in front of you, and you say, let's say, you know, let's just give an example that everybody can relate to. Your spouse comes home late, and you say, where were you? And they say, well, I went to a movie, then I went bowling, and then and then I went out for an ice cream. So you know that they went to the movie, you know they went for the ice cream, but you know that bowling wasn't all there is to that story. It doesn't mean they're lying, but it means if you were to ask one
and it
more
does, and it doesn't mean they're into something bad. It could be maybe they went to a local bar.
Yeah, maybe they just don't want to tell you because they know you're against them going to a bar.
Right.
You know, it could have been you were dating their sister. So, you know,
who knows
what it is. But, you know, that's the, you see, so right there. But let's say they don't do that. Then let's say that they say, well, I went to a movie, and then I went bowling, and they touched their finger to their nose.
Why would they do that?
Because that's the soul. The soul will not allow a lie to go unmarked.
They would touch their finger to their nose,
and
like
what
it
that
was
does,
itchy or something?
What that does, George, is you see, if I'm not lying to you, then I have an open communication with you. If I put my hand to my face, because all the lines of my energy from my whole energy body come out on my face. So if I'm telling you the truth, I'm sending you unfettered communication. But if I block it with my hand, especially near the center of my face or my nose, if I touch my nose, then there's something I'm holding back. There's something that isn't quite the way I said it was.
All right, how about some other techniques?
Okay, another thing is if they say, well, I went to the movie, they're sitting there in front of you, their legs are apart, their arms are apart, they're looking at you, everything's good, and they said, and then I went bowling, and they crossed their legs. Same thing.
Right at that moment, okay.
If you go to an Arab country and you deal with an Arab and you cross your leg during a negotiation, they will get up and walk out of the room because they will have nothing further to do with you because they can't trust you.
That's interesting. You know, hey, I'll get this shipped to you on time. You cross your legs, they're done, right?
Exactly.
Huh.
Exactly. And the same thing is true when you cross your arms. It's like, well, I'm going to be defensive about what I just said. And why would you be defensive?
Bottom line is tell the truth, right?
Well, that's the thing. Is see, now I decided a long time ago, as I gradually learned this, I go, I'm done with even fibbing. I don't care. So a lot of people think I'm like too blunt because I'll tell them exactly what I think. But I get a good night's sleep that night. They may be upset, but I told them what I thought.
That's remarkable.
So, but now you've heard of voice stress analyzers.
Yes.
Okay, well, when a person lies, the sound of their voice changes. It gets all these little micro tremors.
Okay.
Okay. So when you hear somebody talking about something and you start hearing those micro tremors. Now, I'm just telling, you know, for a lot of the listeners, they've never even tried this.
And how would you
there is a learning curve.
Okay.
You know somebody that's never told the truth from day one. Go listen to them. Let them tell you something.
We could test almost any politician for that.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say is in the last 2 years, I have never heard more insincerity in my life.
It's everywhere.
It's unbelievable. I mean, I'm watching Bernanke, I'm watching Obama, I'm watching all these people. You know, everything's going to be fine, we're going to fix it. And I'm thinking, they don't have a clue. This is not going to get fixed. And,
I would guess of all of them, Ron Paul would be telling you the truth.
I think so, yes.
Yeah, I would believe.
But listen, I would say that just about every billionaire on the planet knows what's going to happen. That's where all the money went, George. It got drained by the elite that were hoping to build bunkers. They were hoping to go to the moon or Mars. Mm-hmm. They were hoping to come back and be kings of the earth.
Well, you probably are very right about that.
Yes, and that's where it all went. But they've got a big surprise coming for them, because when that ice starts melting, it's going to be drizzling for maybe 25 years.
It's going to fill up their bunkers.
You can go buy a couple bags of rice, but you can't put away food for 40 years. You can't put away 40 years of underwear. And let me tell you, if you're the only house on the block with lights and you're watching TV and you're doing your laundry and you're eating a nice dinner, what are you going to do with the 5,000 people gathered outside your house?
Exactly. You remember the old Twilight Zone where the guy had a bomb shelter?
Yes.
And they thought the neighborhood thought that there was going to be a nuke on the way, and so they're trying to break in. It was an incredible Twilight Zone.
Exactly. And listen, I'm not blaming somebody like Obama. I mean, you know, people think, well, he's president, he can just wave a magic wand. But, you know, really, it doesn't matter who's president. There are people in the shadows who have been running things continuously, and they don't want to see it come out.
No, well, that's true. That's absolutely true. We've talked
about
that.
So, you know, when I look at the astronauts, I think they all know a rock from the tail of Planet X could take out the space station at any time.
Do you think Planet X might have come around when Atlantis reportedly went down?
Definitely. There's no question in my mind. None.
So this planet, it was probably responsible for Noah's flood?
Exactly. That was the second of the last time. The last time is in the Bible in Joshua chapter 10. Joshua goes, the sun rose in the sky and did circles in the sky for 3 days and then set in a new direction. And there never was a day like this before, and there'll never be a day like this again. But how the hell did he know? Look at what happens in most pole shifts, George. Record keeping goes to hell.
Yeah, well, that's true. What concerns you about everything that you've studied, Gordon, everything that you now know, what concerns you the most?
Well, for me personally, when I read Edgar Cayce back in 68, I knew that that was going to happen, this pole shift. So I've been planning it for a long time, and I moved to Maine. I gave up being a lawyer and moved to Maine. I figured, you know, I should be outside with people that are happy to see me, and I should move to my future community early enough so when pole shift happens, I'll know who to trust and who not. You know, I'll know where to go fishing, and, you know. So what concerns me, it's more of a spiritual concern, George, because, you know, you're going to live lots of lifetimes. So what's the point? You want to do the same damn thing over and over again because you didn't get the point? Well, right now, I believe that this is an opportunity. That's why all these ETs are here, is because this is like a graduation, a spiritual graduation. I believe, and I think you'll agree with me if you think about it, about 35% of the Earth has made a conscious choice to be unselfish.
35%?
Yeah.
I would say it could even be a little higher than that.
Well, I'm just saying there's like...
I think there's more good than bad.
Exactly.
Except the bad is very powerful.
Oh, they're very bad. And the thing is, you know, every time some good person gets something really good going, then some selfish person comes along and screws it up as best as possible.
I went to the store today. I was telling people earlier, I stumbled across this restaurant supply wholesale store in St. Louis, which, you know what? I love to buy things when you get a good deal on it.
Right. I'm a bargain hunter.
These things, you could buy, you know, ceramic plates, anything you wanted.
Right.
Anything you wanted at a tremendous discount, cheaper than the big discount stores. But on my way out, you know, and I've got a whole bunch of people coming by for Thanksgiving, and I'm on the air for Thanksgiving night, but on the way out, I've got all these things, and I'm putting it in the trunk of my car, but I needed to put this big box of napkins because I wanted a whole bunch of classy-looking paper napkins because so many people are coming by.
Yeah,
I had to put the big box on the front seat of my car. I couldn't get through. There was a car parked 6 inches from my car, and I couldn't open the door. I couldn't even get through.
Yeah.
The guy was still in the car. And he's playing his music loud, and I'm going, boy, you know, this is going to be interesting. And I just pointed to my door, and it dawned on him he was too close to me. And he was like daydreaming, and he moved his car, and he waved to me, and he was a nice guy about it. And I put the stuff in. I had held my thumb up, and, you know, like a thank you, and off I went. But for one split second, I thought, you know, this guy's not going to move his car. But he did. Which,
right.
Again, convinces me that there's more good on this planet than bad.
I think so. But to me, you see, that's why the ETs are here, is because there's a whole group that has now made a conscious choice. I mean, to me, the third dimension that we live in now is about spiritual orientation. You're just going to keep living these lifetimes, making mistakes, doing good things, making mistakes over and over and over again until you finally get the point. And to me, the point is that you make a conscious choice to be unselfish. That's the most valuable thing you could take from this lifetime, even if you only live another 5 minutes.
Well, that's true. Now, tell me about these ETs that are here. What type? How long?
Well, in 1988 was the first time, you know, because I used to walk around practicing my telepathy going, just like that commercial, I go, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And I never have anybody answer me. It's awful. Till I asked the ETs to find me a partner, and I gave them a list, and I said it every night for a year, and then I went out to lecture on UFOs, and I met Janet, and practically the first day, she said, you need anything at the store? And I said, no, and then after she left, I said, you know, I'd really like some cheese and crackers, and she came back, and she had everything, and she goes, and here's your cheese and crackers.
That's fine. Now, Janet, I assume, is your wife, right?
Yes.
All right. She's not an ET, is she?
Well, no, but she on her own is. I said, I want you to find me somebody who's in contact with ETs, who's psychic. So, and that's, and she's a. We've had so many UFO incidents. I mean, that would be a whole other show. It's just
so they brought about. They brought her basically to you, right?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying is you know, people are going to face this because there's going to be, imagine, you know, you think, well, how tough is this for you to make the decision? When you first present it to your spouse, what reaction are you going to get?
I thought for a moment you're going to tell me she had a huge head, big black eyes.
No.
All right.
No, but she's had many, been up with the Zetas and had many alien babies. And, you know, people say, well, the Zetas, the Greys, they can't be good. Well, you know, believe me, George, it's the same up there as it is down here. There's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some of the most selfish people in the universe are walking around on the earth, you know?
Well, that's true. And did you just say she had alien babies?
Yes.
How many?
Well, she's not sure, but she had her tubes fixed so she could not give birth, but she still had her ovaries, and she kept getting pregnant. And she would have this dream that about 6 weeks into it that she would be up on this table and these long-necked horses would be leaning over her, and then the next day she would go in the bathroom and have passed the afterbirth. So whatever they're doing, they only need 6 weeks in the human body.
And they're hybrids, no doubt, right?
Yes, and that's who we're going to be reincarnating into. That's why even Edgar Cayce and Nostradamus, I mean, everybody talks about it, that the new race is coming
Gordon,
in.
I was going to say, Gordon, what do you think they're doing with these hybrids? Because if they're
well,
happening.
Oh, I'll tell you, and I absolutely understand this. I mean, first of all, let me say, if you went around the Earth and you got a 7 foot tall guy with red hair, and then you got a 24 inch tall dwarf, and then you got, I mean, you could find 10 people on the Earth. Anyone looking at them would go, there's no way these people are from the same planet.
Well, that's true.
So, you know, the story of the Zetas, they're human Zetas. Now, you could say, well, we could mate with the Pleiadians, because when that first ship came to take me on board and I met humans from the Pleiades, they, believe me, George, they could walk down any street and you would not know they're from another planet.
Well, that's because we are who they are, right?
Well, not necessarily. You see, we can't really breed with them. There is a DNA difference. Even though the result it looks the same, it's not the same.
But the Zetas,
it matches perfectly.
What do they want here?
Okay, what they want is, they destroyed their planet, and they had space travel, and they're thinking, you know where we went wrong? And you can see what their wrong decision was immediately. They said, sex is wrong, and emotion is wrong. That's where we went wrong, because of sex and because of emotions. That's why we had the war. That's what destroyed our planet. So now we're going to clone ourselves, so we'll all look the same, even though we're different souls. We'll clone ourselves. We'll make ourselves small, so we're ideal space-traveling beings, and we will use genetics to cut the emotions and the sex out. So everything was fine. They're going along. And then the Council of Worlds said, you come to Earth and just check out these humans. So they're checking us out, and they're treating us like lab rats. And all of a sudden, their cloning stopped working. And they're like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? And then they realized the problem was not to eliminate sex and emotions, but to have good sex and to have good emotions.
That's always nice.
Yes. And so they picked all the most emotional people on Earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I even cry when Lassie comes home. I mean, I can barely watch an hour.
I have my moments. You got to have your moments.
I can barely watch an hour of TV without choking up and wanting to cry. And my wife is like that. And I have to believe all the people. And I had a group in Bangor, Maine for 18 years. And we had people every month and to come and talk about. And I have met so many dozens and dozens. And then we would go to MUFON conferences. And I have met, can't tell you how many people I've met who have been abducted. And I will tell you, I do not know of a single case where the person didn't become more sensitive.
Okay, but what do they want? You didn't answer that one.
Well, what they wanted was our DNA for us to be born into after the pole shift and for them to be born into after the pole shift.
Are they going to bring all these hybrids here?
They're already here. There's more than 6 billion here now.
Like families and stuff?
Yep.
Are they working among us? They must be working.
No, they're in invisible fourth dimensional domed cities and under the oceans and in motherships, but they're here. And after the pole shift, you see, the one reason why ETs have not been welcomed is because of the governments.
Well, governments are aware of them?
Of course. Absolutely. And the thing is that the people that are in power, the first contact they made was with selfish aliens, and bad things happened, and they never want anybody to find out about it.
That's interesting. All right, Gordon, you stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. You've heard what we've been talking about, so we're going to open up the phone lines. We'll give you an opportunity to talk with Gordon James Gianinotto about ETs, about the pole shifts, and about all the other issues we've been talking about right here on Coast to Coast AM. And again, if you need to email me, George@coast2coastam.com. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.